Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? I don't need a fancy introduction. I don't need music and taking forever to get to the point. This is a Hardcore Press Icon, diffusing end-time sensationalism. Madness, the madness. Everybody thinks that the Great Tribulation is going to be this year, or the end of the world is going to be this year. So much sensationalism. With madness and eschatology, and today's show is called Three Questions, and there's three questions in Matthew 24. Everybody runs to Matthew 24, and we're going to be dealing with dispensational teaching, and let me say this. How you interpret these questions will determine your eschatological future. And once again, the most popular view of our modern day is called dispensationalism. But let me start off with Matthew 24 and verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So once again, how you interpret these questions will determine your eschatological future. The most popular view of our modern day is called dispensationalism. Dispensationalism is a theological system that teaches biblical history is best understood in light of a number of successive administrations of God's dealing with mankind, which it calls dispensations. It maintains fundamental distinctions between God's plans for national Israel and for the New Testament church, and emphasizes prophecy of the end times and the pre-tribulation rapture of the church prior to Christ's second coming. Its beginnings are usually associated with the Plymouth Brethren movement in the UK and the teachings of John Nelson Darby. I got that from Theopedia. Now, on my website, hardcorepressicon.wordpress.com, and it should be up on the profile page here, and you're able to view this as I go along here. And I posted up four pictures from my own personal commentary. Or a collection of my own personal commentaries from anybody from like Warren, for example, Warren Wiersbe in his B series, Ryrie Study Bible, the Jimmy Swaggart Expositor Bible, the Ten LaHaye book came out in 1971 called The Beginning of the End. And your futurist, your hardcore futurist, there's a little bit of division there. For example, in the Wiersbe series, he says this: "The Olivet Discourse grew out of some questions the disciples asked when Jesus told them that the temple would one day be destroyed. First, they want to know when. This answer is not recorded in Matthew, but is given in Luke 21, 20-24. So Wiersbe breaks it up as if God is playing this, or Jesus is playing this head game, you know, with the first century disciples here. So that's how he sees it. Let's go to the Ryrie Study Bible. He says, in this discourse, Jesus answered two of the three questions the disciple asked. He did not answer, when will this happen? He answers, what will be the sign of your coming in verses 29-31, and he speaks of the signs of the end and the age in verses 4-28. So Ryrie says he didn't answer the first one. Wiersbe says he did, but it's over in Luke, so we're splitting up the same parallel accounts, which doesn't make any sense. Jimmy Swagger, in his Expositor Bible, he says that when shall these things be? He says has to do here with the utterance he had just given concerning the destruction of the temple. And what shall the sign of your coming refers to the second coming, that's the physical return, and at the end of the world, and he says, should be translated as age. Now, Tim LaHaye's book from 1971, he lists all three questions, and then he says that the disciples were probably familiar with the prophecy of Zechariah 14:1-3, which predicts the destruction of Jerusalem just before the day of the Lord. Therefore, naturally linked the two events together, knowing they were concerned about the time of his return and the end of the age, Jesus answered questions 2 and 3 first, then answered question 1 in verse 32-36. All right? Now, if you interpret these three questions based on the dispensation view, don't you realize that you're kicking the can down the road? And do you really think the disciples are concerned about the 20th and the 21st century? You see, it's like in the 20th century, we have the rise of this end-time sensationalism through books like Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey, TBN. What about the 88 reasons why the rapture is going to occur here? So we find that many people are taking events and going, well, look at the wars here, and look at World War One, and look at World War Two, and they start taking events of their time and applying it as if that the world's going to end here in a little bit. Let me scroll down here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And of course, it's nothing new, but to, I guess, keep it recent from the 20th century until now, I mean, people are just taking whatever's going on and hyping it up as if the Great Tribulation has to start this year. This year, I heard of a guy named John Shorey. He was on the Jimmy Baker Show. He's some author, and he was talking about how, I think it was supposed to be March or April, that the Great Tribulation is going to start. Well, that didn't happen. Then he kicks the can down the road to next year. That's what they all do. The guy who authored the book, 88 Reasons for a Rapture 1988, he kicked the can down the road in 89, 93, 94, 97, and then he passed away in 2001. They'd never give up, even the Harold Camping in 1994 in September. Didn't happen. And then, of course, in May of 2011, didn't happen. Kicked the can once again down the road. It didn't happen. October. And they just want to keep, trying to find the secret formula. And if you ever notice, these people claim to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is confirming it. And then they'll start talking about how others believe them. Other prophets are saying the same thing. And come on. I mean, what madness. So, but let's keep this simple, though. Question one, both in Matthew 24, verse 3, Mark 13, 3 through 4, and Luke 21, 7, all ask the same question. All right? Now, question two, Matthew has three questions, but in Mark and Luke only has two. So what's up with that? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Mark 13, 4. And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Luke 21, 7. So based on the evidence, knowing that these are all tied together, okay, question two and three are together. So we went from three questions to two, but all the questions are pointing to the same time, you see. So all the questions points to the same time. The second and third question out of Matthew, one question. But everything's pointing to the same time. You see the problem when you start taking a question, say, oh, applies here, and then this question over here applies somewhere later, and all this other stuff. It gets confusing, and it doesn't have to be. And let me tell you something. There was three things that we know for sure that the disciples didn't understand. Number one, they didn't understand Jesus' death. Matthew 16, 21 through 22, Luke 18, 31 through 34, John 16, 16. Up through verses 18. Number two, they didn't understand Christ's second coming. John 13, 36 through chapter 14, verse 6. Okay, number three, point number three, they thought the kingdom was physical. John 18, 36, Luke 17, 20 through 21, Luke 19 and 11, and Acts 1, 6. So with that said, how can one actually think Christ would bounce around with his answers to them? While the disciples focus on the second temple, that was the question, okay, the second temple, Herod's temple, right? Dispensationalists will have you to believe that Jesus was talking about a third temple, which would be a rebuilt temple, a future great tribulation, which would be in our day, and a day of the Lord tied to his second coming. See, I believe everything was fulfilled in 70 AD. And we'll do a test. We'll do a test. We'll keep this simple. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Matthew 23, verse 36. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Matthew 24, verse 34. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Luke 17:25. Did it happen? It happened. So it was through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So when he said just this generation, it happened. Why is it that we can all agree that he was rejected and it happened by that generation when he uses the word this generation in Matthew 24? Oh, no, doesn't necessarily mean for that particular time, but hop, skip, and jump. It's for us. And look at the mindset in the 20th century, by the way. And I'll go over some things here, and we're going to do this test. Let me continue to read on. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Luke 23:37-31. And if you read Matthew 24, you see there's a lot of things going on. And so when should we take this generation? When does the generation start? The springboard, right? So 1948, the birth of Israel, or the rebirth, 1948 is a huge thing with modern dispensationalists. And so Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, makes a statement that the one generation is 40 years, and then he applies it to the creation of Israel. And then you have, once again, Edgar Wisenot, if I said that correctly, who was a former NASA scientist, and he published the book, 88 Reasons Why There's a Rapture. The rapture will occur in 1988. Obviously, both Hal Lindsey, Wisenot, and many others, because there was tons of others that believe this, and they're taking that generation for Israel, and they're adding 40. Nothing happened, and it's been almost 30 years ago. All right, so well, that happened. So, and then also TBN during that time, and I don't remember this because I was little, and I don't think I had TBN. But they aired special instructions on preparing for the rapture as the end date approached. Once again, these are Holy Ghost men that just are always on in tune with the Holy Spirit, and just they can flip on a switch and talk to the Holy Spirit and talk to Jesus and go to the third heaven and all this other stuff. But when it comes to this, they're wrong. And the funny thing is, they keep repackaging it. And you so-called YouTube prophets out there, you guys are just piggybackers. You guys take what these sensationalists do, and then you just build on it. And then you think that you have the secret formula, that you've got the secret formula, and you're God's man of the hour. You're God's man of the hour. Or God's woman of the hour. And I'm just amazed. If everybody's so full of the Holy Spirit, I mean, everybody's piggybacking off each other. What about 1967? The Six-Day War. Well, add 40 to it, you got 2007. What about the Yom Kippur War, 1973? Add 40 to that, you got 2013. Nothing's happened. What about all that sensationalism, that hype back in 2008, 2009? Even though the economy was tanking and everything was just seemed like it was going on a drain, look at the rise of the theories. All of a sudden, these conspiracy theorists know everything. Talk about a bracelet and how we're going to be quarantined because of the bird flu, and the economy's going to drop, and martial law, and all this other stuff, but nothing happens. And then many people on Blog Talk, these so-called prophets, are saying, oh, the Lord told me that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's been 8 years. So once again, no matter how you cut it, date setters And those who want to put current events from a westernized perspective and apply it to biblical prophecy have a bad record. It's like zero and over 1,000 or more, probably. I can't name all 1,000 predictions that, or it could be over 1,000 that never came to pass. No one's ever been right. But you keep repackaging it. You keep kicking the can down the road. You think that you're God's special chosen prophet from the moment, but all you're doing is sensationalizing and you're piggybacking. You're taking other people's work and building off of it, and you're putting your own thing to it, and when it doesn't come to pass, guess what? You repackage it and find something else, or you just fade from the scene. So, let me do a quick little overview in regards to Matthew 24. And I like to spend a lot of time here in Matthew 24, verse by verse, breaking it down. But I just want to give you a quick overview to show that the events happened from the span of 30 AD to 70 AD. And I think that's important because Jesus said that he's going to be rejected from this generation, and it happened. And I don't think he's going to trip up the disciples and kick the can down the road and toy with them. Say, oh, no, it's really 20th century. It's going to be thousands of years from here. But I'm going to make it sound like it's going to be in this generation because I want you to try to figure me out. I want to play head games with you. Of course, that's not his logic. That's not his mindset. So not one stone. Galatians Matthew 24, verse 2. So the destruction of the temple. Look at the wars of the Jews. For example, I quote, gave order that they should now demolish the entire city and the temple, but for all the rest of the wall, it was so thoroughly laid even with the ground by those that dug it up to the foundation that there was left nothing to make those that came thither believe it had ever been inhabited. Those are strong words. False Christ, Matthew 24, in verse 5, and I quote from the words of the Jews, there was an Egyptian false prophet that did the Jews more mischief than the former, for he was a cheat and pretended to be a prophet also, and got together 30,000 men that were deluded by him. How many YouTube sensationalists have followers that are so deluded, who's thrown all their eggs into one basket year after year? And I continue to quote, these he led round from the wilderness to the mount, which was called the Mount of Olives, and was ready to break into Jerusalem by force from that place. What about wars and rumors of wars? I mean, you go to Wikipedia right now and type in first century, and then just click on all the centuries, and it'll give you an overview or highlights of major things that occurred during that century. There's always wars. There's always some type of ruckus. There's always diseases and pestilence, and you know, lists can go on. But I just don't get the circular reasoning today and why we just say, well, this is going on, so it applies to our time and has to be. Doesn't make sense. So wars and rumors of war, Matthew 24, verse 36. I'm sorry, verse 6, sorry. Here's one, the history. This is from the histories. The history on which I'm entering is that of a period rich in disasters, terrible with battles, torn by civil struggles, horrible even in peace. Four emperors fell by the sword. There were three civil wars, more foreign wars, and often both at the same time. Let's look at famines and pestilences. Here's another one. Now her coming, this is from Antiquities. Now her coming was a very great advantage to the people of Jerusalem, for whereas a famine did oppress them at the time, and many people died for what was necessary to produce food. Withal, Queen Helena sent some of her servants to Alexandria with money to buy a great quantity of corn and others to Cyprus to bring a cargo of dried figs. Okay, once again, you can go through different all the centuries, and you can see how this stuff, you know, it's all through the centuries, and to use circular reasoning now, what happens if life continues to occur from a futurist perspective for another 1,000 years, another 2,000 years? What is eschatology going to look like? Heck, with the whole European Union, the UK just got out, and now what are you going to do? Revise the whole European Union thing? Will more countries leave? And watch the futures. Just go ahead and just revise it. This has got to be it. This has got to be it. I'm amazed when you look in the Old Testament and New Testament, when the Holy Spirit talks to a prophet, talks to an individual, they understood one another. But the sensationalist today, they'll say, Holy Spirit told me this. It doesn't come to pass. Oh, I misunderstood the Holy Spirit. Easy excuse. Now, the problem is it's you. Completely. There was no Holy Spirit involved. You get it? Fearful sights. Let me go back. Earthquakes. That's 24 verse 7. And I said earthquakes. Many are mentioned by writers during the period just previous to 70 AD. This is from Eschatology of Victory, page 93. There were earthquakes in Crete, Samaria, Malthus, Chios, Samos, Laodicea. The list can go on. I can't pronounce most of that. He goes, it is interesting to note that the city of Pompeii was much damaged by an earthquake occurring February 5th of 63 AD. You've got fearful sights, Luke 21:11. Coming from wars, it says here, and I quote, there broke out a prodigious storm in the night with the utmost violence and very strong winds and largest showers of rain with continual lightnings and terrible thunderings and amazing concussions and billowings of the earth. That was in an earthquake. These things were manifest in the indication that some destruction was coming upon them when the system of the world was put into this disorder. And anyone would guess that these wonders foreshadow some great calamities that were coming. You can find all this from my blog, Hardcore Progress icon.wordpress.com, under the post 3 questions. The gospel being preached, Matthew 24 verse 14. The list can go on here. I know I'm kind of short of time, coming up 7 minutes. Abomination of Desolation and the connection with Luke 21. Jerusalem surrounded with armies. I mean, I don't see parts of Luke just for 70 AD, Matthew 24 for something in the distance. Then you're having Jesus telling two different things in which they wouldn't have understood two different things. It just doesn't make sense. But I want to get to, and since I have a short time here, I'm going to skip down link once again. Check this out for yourself. It's hardcoreprogressicon.wordpress.com. Should be in my profile also, and it's under the post 3 questions. Now, a lot of people will be thinking, what about Matthew 24, 29 through 31? Well, stars, for example, stars falling from heaven. It's a hyperbole. Okay? Babylon, Isaiah 13, 10 through 13. Edom, Isaiah 34, 4 through 6. Judah, Jeremiah 4, 1 through 6. And you see that same type of terminology. What about the sign of the Son of Man, Matthew 24, verse 30? Once again, hyperbole, and I believe he came in judgment. Examples, God rescued David from Saul. Look this up, Psalms 18, 9 through 12, and look at the terminology that's applied. What about Isaiah 19, 1? That was fulfilled in 700 B.C. Look at Micah 1, 3 through 5. That was fulfilled in 586 B.C. I want to quote a guy named Adam Marshtoff from his blog on Matthew 24. He says this, when Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse that he would come on the clouds of heaven, anyone in his audience who was familiar with the Old Testament knew that he was claiming to be one with his Father. Only God could ride on the clouds of heaven. For example, Deuteronomy 33:26, Psalms 68:4, Psalms 104:3, Ezekiel 30:3, and Nahum 1:3. That's why the high priest accused Jesus of blasphemy when he made the same claim just before his crucifixion, and the crowd declared him worthy of death. Matthew 26:63-66. So that this is just something to wet your whistle. This is something just to look at, and we'll be definitely looking at all the verses, expounding on them. What I find an amazement, and I'll admit this, I've been saved for 18 years, and about 16 of those years, I would consider myself a futurist. At first, I was pre-trib, but then I went to post-trib, and then I was pre-millennial. And just basically, why I saved, the church I went to, they preached the pre-tribulation doctrine, they hyped up Israel, and at that time in the late 90s, oh yeah, we're living the last days. Oh, you know, Jesus can come back anytime and blah, 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 blah. Now it's been, like I said, it's been 18 years. And every year, it's just, maybe each year is more hype than the other, but it's just every year. And I'm amazed when people, you know, and I used to say the same thing too. Man, we're in the last days, man. See that earthquake last week? Oh, man, we're in the last days. World's going to come in, and Great Tribulation is going to probably start this year because look at all those earthquakes. And did you hear about Israel and possible peace treaty? And did you hear about this and that? I think 2008, 2009, my goodness, I was so caught up in that. Stock market was plunging. Gold and silver was going through the roof. People were pushing out articles. YouTube's just excelling videos. I mean, it was like, whoa, sensationalism at its finest. These prophets, these doom and gloomers, thus saith the Lord, and nothing happened. And there's many of you that, you know, went through that madness, believed that madness, once the seas and prophets and dispensationalism failed you. You said, what's going on here? And you start studying for yourself, and you realize, I'm just caught up in some madness. This broadcast is intended to help those that are coming out of sensationalism and overhyping everything, and those who are currently involved. And mind you, this broadcast, I'm not here to tell you, oh, you're going to go to hell because you don't believe exactly like me. And there's others who are like that. They think if you don't believe me, you don't believe that I'm God's man of the hour, you don't believe my little formula and my eschatology, you're not right with God, you're brainwashed, you're going to hell, this can go on. And it's like, whoa. So, but on this broadcast, we're going to look at everything, balanced, fair, and you decide. I'm not here to make it a big issue and say, like I said, if you disagree with me, cool. So thanks for listening to my first broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com. Check out my website, hardcoreprotestanticon.wordpress.com, and just keep coming back. And follow the blog if you have a WordPress account. Other than that, thank you and God bless.